Music this morning. My name is Casey. I met a lot of new people this morning. I am the campus pastor for our Edgerton campus, and it has been, man, over 2 years that I have spoken here on a Sunday morning. I spoke last week at the 5 o'clock here, helping out as Matt, and he took a crew from both campuses, Campusen? I don't know. But I'm not very educated, but took several people from both campuses to Houston for the mission trip, and you'll hear a lot more about that next week, that kind of thing. You probably saw some Facebook Live things that were going on. It's really good stuff. But if you don't know my story, I'll give you a quick introduction, and we'll get into the end of the message. I didn't know Jesus growing up. I mean, I have great parents, great family bringing up, loving, that kind of thing. But we didn't go to church, and I didn't know Jesus. I came to know Jesus about, around 2001. I actually got baptized I got baptized and saved. But to know and follow Jesus is a whole different thing. When I found out that he fulfilled hundreds of prophecies from the Old Testament, and they were all written down, and he fulfilled them all in the New Testament, I'm like, that is crazy. And I realized that God is a whole heck of a lot bigger than I am. And then I fell to my knees when I realized that. I mean, things not like he's going to be a good guy and do good things, but things like he would be betrayed for 30, not 31 or 29, but 30 pieces of silver, and it happened. His hands and feet would be pierced, that he would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, be born in Bethlehem. 365 specific things that were written about the coming anointed one, the coming Messiah, the coming Christ that was to come, and he fulfilled them all. It's impossible. And when I realized that, I said, "Man, I didn't care who I told. I had to tell everybody. I wasn't preaching. I wasn't doing anything like that. I talked to executives. I would talk to the poorest of the poor, the richest of the rich. I did not care, because I realized that. And when I found out and figured out that he actually rose from the dead, that wasn't legend. Wow. I'm done. I'm tapping out, man. I submit to everything he tells me. I don't care if a PhD or anybody else or a MD or anybody with more degrees than a circle has everything that they want to tell me. They don't rise from the dead. He did. Amen. You with me, New City Church? Are we alive this morning? We need some more coffee, because I'm still waking up myself, so it's all good. But man, I didn't get called to pastor a church. I didn't get called to into anything. I just simply, my knees buckled, and I said, "I'm following this dude till the day I die." And that's it. Got called into ministry. Somebody asked me to babysit our youth at our old church that I was at, and I did that for 6 years on a volunteer basis until we found a real youth pastor. We just never did. I just kind of hung out with them and loved on them, and they loved on me. I learned all what it means to be a youth pastor and what it means to lead people and those kinds of things in the ministry, the responsibility that we have. And then I got called to pastor a church, and I had no idea what to do. I called a couple of people. I said, "I think I'm just going to start a church in my basement. I don't really know." And they said, "Hey, why don't you go talk to some people at this church called New City?" And so 4 years ago, I stepped into this church, and we had a welcome desk in the corner where the family services or the family stuff area is now. And I walked in, and I said, "Hey, I got sent here because somebody told me to start a church." And they said, "Oh, okay, yeah, no problem." And they just like, they welcomed us. So I sat right back in the very back there. Matt asked me to stand up with about three other church planters that were in the crowd. And he prayed over us. I'm like, this is crazy. And so I met with Matt Miller. By the way, our leadership is unbelievable. It's incredible. The genuine people that we have that are in leadership, that are elders and pastors in this church, I just couldn't believe it. He looked at me and he said, "Look, we will help you. We will train you. We will do whatever we can to help you. And if you like us and we like you, we'll send people to your church." I said, that's ridiculous. I've never heard of anything like that. Like nobody does that. No church does that. Nobody. Every other church I've ever been a part of tries to have membership retention strategies, right? This guy was telling me he will take people from here to my church. That's ridiculous. I said, "You know what? I'll just hang out with y'all, shine shoes, clean toilets, whatever I got to do. I'll just do that for a while." And so we did. Edgerton popped up. They called us out of the blue, said, we're about to close our doors. Could you come help us? Became the campus pastor there. And now, because of your generosity and your prayers, man, we have a campus there that is now running between 250 and 300 every week. Incredible, right? Amen. I have almost 80 baptisms since we've been a church there. It's just been ridiculous, right? But God is doing some amazing things. And it has helped me see what he has done with you guys, with us here in Shawnee and in Edgerton. Like, it has helped me with my unbelief in many ways, helped me to have a greater faith that I never would have had I not seen what God has done. See, this series called Knuckleheads is an interesting one. Turn to your neighbor, by the way, and say, you are a knucklehead. Now, you know, fighting, right? This is church. Turn to the neighbor that you didn't turn to the first and say, you're a knucklehead. Now, everybody look at me, say, you're a knucklehead. Hey, y'all are very enthusiastic about that. That's amazing. That's amazing. We are talking about being knuckleheads because, and you can start filling out your bulletin here. And by the way, I was got to know some people this morning and hear some names that I haven't heard before. If you would please do me a favor and write down your name on the sign up sheet and pass it down. That would help me to remember. We have a team of people that reads these names, prays over these names, and helps people to stay connected in our church by doing that. I really greatly appreciate that. But we are, if you'll fill out this on your app or in your bulletin, we are all unbelievers in some ways. And now a lot of people hear that. They go, no, I'm a believer. I'm a full-fledged follower of Jesus. I'm a disciple, all that kind of stuff, right? But yet there are certain areas of my life, certain areas of your life that you have yet to submit to Jesus. And we're all going to keep working on those things until we see him face to face. And he answers all of our questions and those and fulfills all of our doubts and things. But ultimately, we've got to continue giving him our junk, our sin, our shortcomings, our doubt, and our unbelief. A love and desire for Jesus, if we believe the scriptures to be true, which they are, it is the Word of God, must equal a love and desire for the Bible. And the reason I say that is, according to John 1, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. That Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Are you with me, New City? Shawnee, you with me, right? See, knowledge of the Bible is not the same as understanding. Knowledge is not the same as wisdom. I got asked this past week, why do you hate Bible studies? I don't hate Bible studies. I cringe when somebody says, all we need to do is study the Bible. Because it is not just about knowing what the Bible says, it is about following Jesus, obeying Jesus. See, the mark of a disciple is understanding. See, I see things in certain ways and see things about, you know, the scriptures and that kind of thing. And I look at those, and some of us that are in here, like, we look at the scripture, go, I think Jesus meant this, and I think Jesus meant that. And I think Satan, frankly, is okay with us talking about Jesus as long as we don't follow Jesus, as long as we don't obey Jesus. You catch what I mean on that, New City? So I'm going to ask you guys, I love to do this about every 6 months in Edgerton just to kind of take our temperature, but I like to give us a test. And it's a test is something, it's a yes, no questions. And I usually like to answer open-ended questions. We just don't have time for discussion this morning. But there are several questions I want to ask you, and I want to kind of check your temperature on your following and love of Jesus. See, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, if you're a Christian, you're probably going to say yes to a lot of these things. So let me ask you a few questions. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? I didn't hear you. One more time. Man, isn't that crazy? I mean, think about it. That's wild. That's amazing. Like, he's dead, then he's alive. And all these guys followed him and were willing to die for what they said they saw. They said, he was dead, and I saw him dead, and now he's alive. It's incredible. Do you believe that he fulfilled 300-plus prophecies from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Do you believe he died on a cross? Do you believe his hands and feet were pierced on that cross, fulfilling that prophecy? Do you believe that he was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver? I can't hear you, church. Do you believe that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, complete Word of God? Say it again. Do you believe that by Jesus' shed blood and His shed blood only, His sacrifice once and for all is the only way to heaven? Do you believe that, church? Say it again, church. Do you believe that He is going to be coming back for His church? Absolutely. If we're a Christian, these are things we believe, right? Do you think that Satan and his demons know all this too? Absolutely. Say it again. So he knows he's in trouble. He knows that the Bible's the inspired, complete, inerrant Word of God. He knows that Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies from the Old Testament. Impossible. He knows that it is by His shed blood only that we can be saved. He knows that He rose from the dead. Here's my question. If I know that and Satan knows that and you know that, what's the difference between us and Satan? Following. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Like me and Satan, we think a lot alike. We believe a lot alike. If he comes in here and knows all the things and knows all that stuff, how many times do we forget that it is about obedience, not knowledge only? I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about people understanding who Jesus is versus who they've been taught he is. Amen? See, the enemy is happy with us talking about Jesus, knowing things about him, as long as we don't obey him. And we got to be careful in that, don't we? My brothers and sisters, we got to be careful not to say, man, me and Satan can hang out because we think a lot alike. Me and Jesus got to be hanging out because he's Lord. Because Satan wants to seek, kill, and destroy. Matthew 22, and I love this. This is the key to all the things that we're worried about and concerned about. In Matthew 22, Jesus is debating. And I love Jesus' mind in this. I never want to discount intellect because Jesus was a very, very, very smart guy. The smartest of smart. But listen to what happens. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, these were religious people that were experts in the scriptures. And they came together. One of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to test him. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? Now, he's trying to if Jesus says, well, I think murder's the greatest of all. Do not murder, and it's because I'm the author of life. Then they're like, oh, so adultery. Oh, so theft. Oh, so lying's okay. That, you know, like you could catch Jesus in this political game of gotcha. And he said to him, love the Lord your God with some of your heart, with some of your soul, and with a little bit of your mind. No, right. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Everything you got. Deuteronomy 6:4, this is the Shema. This is the greatest and most important command. And the second is like it. And this word means that the second goes hand in hand with the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. The question was, which one is the greatest? He said, I give you two. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. So many of us see Jesus, and this is a cultural issue in the American church, but see Jesus as Savior only. That's all they want. They want him just to save us from hell, and we're done. But Jesus is a one-time Savior and a full-time Lord. You with me, New City? You with me? John 14, and I love this. John 14, starting in verse 15, says, Jesus is telling his people, if you love me, right? If you love me, you will keep my commands. In other words, if you love me, you will obey me. This is a hard truth. Lots of Christians say, I love Jesus, man. I love me some Jesus. But then they'll go and do everything that Jesus doesn't want them to do and then have the audacity to say, well, I love me some Jesus, right? Doesn't work like that, does it? Listen to what he says. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor. This is the Holy Spirit to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because he doesn't see him or know him, but you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will see me no longer, but you will see me because I live, you will live too. In that day, I'm starting to sweat, y'all. This is getting big, right? In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who... Let me repeat that. The one who keeps my commands, who has them and keeps them, in other words, is obedient to me, is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, which is the one who betrayed Jesus, said to him, Lord, how is it you're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus repeats himself a bunch here. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And the one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. These are spooky things that Jesus is saying here, right? Like a lot of people say that, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Oh, yeah, me and Jesus are good. But he is saying, if you don't obey me, you don't love me. Wow. Has anybody ever thought about that? That's incredible. Like, this is where the rubber meets the road, y'all. We can say it. We can come to church. We can put a Jesus sticker on our car. We can say all these different things. We can have crosses all over our house. We can do all the Christian stuff. We can look like a Christian. We can act like a Christian. We can do. But if our in our heart of hearts, we're not obedient, we really don't love him. That's hard, but it's what he said. That's one thing I love about Jesus. Hey, man, I'm just a messenger, y'all. Let's look to Jesus. If you're mad at anybody, be mad at Jesus, right? I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But, if I say but, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father, will send him in my name and will teach you all things and remind you everything I have told you. See, teaching people that it's okay to be disobedient is not loving people. Now, one of the things we do here at New City Church, and if you haven't done this yet, man, I want to have you guys sign up for the Exploring Discipleship. We're going to explore some of these things that we're talking about here, but discipleship is a whole lot different than saying that you're a Christian or a church attender or a member of New City Church or any of those kinds of things. Discipleship is stepping into where the rubber meets the road, and we're going to learn what it means to be a disciple Monday nights here in this room at 6 o'clock and Wednesday nights here at 6 o'clock. I'm going to be teaching the Monday night class. Matt Miller is going to be teaching the Wednesday night class. I'll be in Edgerton on Wednesday nights, and we're going to explore this because Matthew 28, Jesus is very clear about what a disciple is. A disciple is a, and what he said to his disciples was to go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey, observe. Exactly right. I mean, he's saying it right here. It's plain as day. I'll never forget, I was sitting down with a guy that had been in ministry for over 20 years, and he was saying, hey, man, I'm a disciple guy. I love discipleship. Well, tell me about what discipleship is. Oh, man, when we study the Bible like crazy, it's awesome. I said, you do? What do you do when you study? Man, we get into the Greek, we get into the orientation of the first century culture, and we're trying to find out who he's talking to, what he actually means, and all this kind of stuff. And I said, so that's cool. What else do you do? He goes, man, that's about it. What else do you need in discipleship? I said, well, let's read what Jesus said. He said, we baptize them and we teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you, to obey everything I've commanded you. What Jesus doesn't say is baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit and teach them what I said, what my word says. Teach them, like, that's important, but that's not what he said to do, did he? Did he, Shawnee? Did he, New City? He said, I teach them to obey. See, teaching people to obey, if we're going to think about it like that, is teaching people to love. Amen. See, here's the deal, guys. This is where the rubber's got to meet the road. It has to. It has to meet it here. And this is where I grieve for a lot of my brothers and sisters, because Jesus said a whole bunch of stuff like the road is narrow, not a lot of people are going to be on it that leads to life. Road's wide as the road that leads to destruction. And everybody wants to just hang on that wide road and go, all my other Christian friends are doing that, so I'm going to do that, right? But if we're going to be in our heart of hearts, are we really asking people and asking ourselves to be obedient to what Jesus says versus learning what Jesus said? And here's the deal. Here's what I love. I'll never forget about a year ago, I heard a Francis Chan. If you know who Francis Chan is, one of great, great Bible scholars and teachers. But he said, you know, discipleship, if we go in and all we do is study what the scriptures say, he goes, it's like me telling my daughter to go clean her room. He goes, you need to go clean your room. This is what I'm commanding you to do. The daughter goes, gets her all her friends over. They said, let's study about what dad said. Let's look at it in the Greek. Let's look at it what he actually meant by what he said. Let's look at all the different translations about what my dad said. Let's have a weekly study about what he said. And a month later, he goes to his daughter and said, did you clean your room? No, dad. I didn't clean it, but I know all about what you said, right? We came out, we had all these studies about it, and ultimately, she's going to get grounded, right? Amen. It is about being obedient and stepping into that. See, we obey God's commands, Jesus' commandments, not because the Bible tells us to, but because we love him. That's the difference between us and the enemy. You with me, New City? We all right, right? We don't steal, not because the Bible says not to steal, not because it's in the Ten Commandments, but because Jesus is our provider and we love him. Amen? We don't murder, not because the Bible says don't murder, but because Jesus is life and we love him. We're not jealous because Jesus is our fulfillment. We don't love other people because Jesus said you got to love other people, but because we love him with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, with everything we got. And out of that, we love other people and are obedient because he says all the law and the prophets hang on loving God and loving other people. And Jesus isn't our Lord because the Bible says he's supposed to be our Lord. It's because he is worthy. We love him. He paid the price. And we'll do whatever we got to do to be obedient and serve him. And we don't obey Jesus because the Bible says so. We do it because we love him. And we love, out of that love, we obey. So here's what I want us to do. And we'll finish with this. There's some of us, guys, and I know this only because I've had conversations after teachings like this, and they go, dude, man, that wrecked me, you know? Like, it wrecked my brain, it wrecked my heart. We lobbed up something called a Kairos moment, meaning God is trying to break into your life at this moment. Here's what I want you to do. Some of you got this figured out. You love Jesus and you're just obedient. That's cool. Some of us are going, crap, I got to give something up here, right? Don't be a knucklehead. Right? You can be a knucklehead as you grow, but don't be a knucklehead about this one. Here's what I want us to do. Write down whatever is keeping you from loving and obeying Jesus. And if it's two things, if it's 22 things, if it's 222 things, that's all right for now. Don't stay there. Go and write these down in your own handwriting. Don't put them on a computer. All of a sudden, it becomes the PC's list or the Mac's list. I'm talking about write these things down on your right. This is for you, for God to wreck you and help you in this. Ask one by one. Answer the question: are all these things bigger than Jesus? Step three: start reading the scriptures. Most of us, if we're going to be honest, don't read on our own. And I have a crazy radical plan that works for me, but everybody thinks I'm crazy. I start in Genesis 1 at the beginning of the Bible, and I just go. And then when I get to the end, it takes me about 3 years or so, I get to the end, go back, start reading it again. And it's crazy what God reveals the second time around, third time around, fourth time around. Some people in here are in their 17th or 18th reading through the scriptures, just reading it, right? It's amazing what happens. Get good counsel from people that know Jesus. Don't get counsel from people about spiritual matters by people that don't read their Bible. Here's what they'll tell you. Well, I think God would want to. And when you hear that, you run. Because it doesn't matter what people think. God says, what matters is what God says. Amen? And finally, do whatever you can to take the next step of becoming a disciple of Jesus. Someone who actually goes and makes other disciples. We're going to learn about that at the class I was telling you about. Here tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Here on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Step into it, amen? Put that on your Connect card as the buckets are going to be passed here in a few minutes. You with me, New City? I love you more than I can tell you. I love what you guys have done for me. But here's what I want to help us understand. We've got to do this for other people too. There are other people that are going to need Jesus that don't have him. We've got to model obedience, model love as we move forward. Father, we love you. We thank you so much, man. Thank you for this beautiful group of awesome people that are here. Lord, if there are people in here that are being like wrecked by you, by your word, by your truth, man, first off, comfort them, not in their sin, not in their disobedience, not in their rebellion. Comfort them, God, knowing that you are the solution to all this. God, lay on our hearts, our minds, our souls, our bodies, what it means to love you. May we take those next steps to show our love and obedience. It's in your son's awesome, amazing, and risen name. Everybody in the house said, amen.